so much character. We have snow at this season. So I just want to pray, and I have got a message that this message has been so blessing me, and it's been blessing other people. I often speak about this topic of pride, but I'm going to explain what it is. Can you guys hear me? No? No? Is that better? Okay, yeah, okay. So I'm going to speak about this topic of pride. I'm going to speak about what it is, because we just did this pride, and people who know me know that I like to elaborate on things. What does that mean? Even the Bible, a Bible study, what does that mean? Because it means, it's the reason why you have to define it, because that can mean so many different things to different people. You know, Christian, what does that mean in terms of a Christian? Like, Christians have, throughout the history, have persecuted people rather than loving people. So we have to define our terms. It's very important, right? So I'm going to speak about this topic of pride, and I've got a great passage of scripture to speak from. So let me pray. Father, I just pray that you would just bless each and every person here, Father, Lord God, including myself, and I pray that you would just open up each and every heart, that this will be planted and would germinate and bring about a harvest of great character in all of us, in Jesus' name, amen. So the passage of scripture is Philippians 2, and Paul starts, so in this church at this time, there's an argument that's going on between two women. Paul is in prison. Philippians is part of the Pauline corpus called the prison epistles, Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians. And Paul writes this, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent in one purpose, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. So that's kind of like a preface to the actual passage of scripture I want to speak about. That is next. But in terms of this whole idea where he says, do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, right? But with humility of mind. So humility of mind, what is he talking about? He's talking about a posturing, right? If someone says that they have humility of mind, it's a mental posturing or a mindset or an attitude, right? When people say, oh, he has an attitude, people don't even say he has a bad attitude, because if people say he has an attitude, it's implied that it's bad. Right, most time when people meet someone, oh, he's a nice guy. People don't typically say that about arrogant people, really, because in all of us, there's something that about arrogance that repulses us. Really, there is, and there's something about humility that draws us to these people. We like humble people. What do we typically say? We have a lot of words for it. In fact, humility, you know what it means? It's to do with being connected to being on the ground level. Really, humility is connected is connected to the soil. And so here's what people say. Don't people say this? He's down to earth. Don't we say that? He's down to earth, right? We don't say that about arrogant people, right? We say about arrogant people, he is full of himself, right? He is full of himself. And here's the thing about pride. It is not just bragging. Here's what we have to understand what pride is. Pride is a false interpretation of oneself and other people. So every time you've seen an issue of genocide throughout history, doesn't matter where it's been, and it's happened on every continent, pride is there. In fact, scripture says, Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride comes contention. When people have arguments and people refuse to reconcile and actually own that mistake, there's pride there. There is pride there. In fact, scripture says we should not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to. Pride there. The fact that someone can commit genocide, and actually Hitler depicted the Jews as rats running through a sewer. We're better than them. We are great. We are the pure Aryans. And don't get me wrong, that kind of mentality has gone on in Africa, all over Europe, Eastern, Western. It's gone on. It's probably going on somewhere in the world today. This is the damage of pride. It's thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You know, one thing that God always gives me, he gives me movies I've watched in the past. Anyone who knows me knows this. And there's a great movie I watched a long time ago. And as I was sat there, God just dropped this in my spirit, as he does for a message. And there's a movie called Malice with Alec Baldwin and Nicole Kidman. And there's a part in this movie from 1993. I haven't watched this in a long time, but as I said, God just brings things to my memory. And what they say to Alec Baldwin is on trial for this medical malpractice. And they say to him, "You have a God complex." He said, "You think I have a God complex? I don't have a God complex. I am God." Yeah, God just dropped that into me. Yes, yes, that's a perfect example of pride. Really, it is a perfect example of when, because, oh, he's entitled. They're talking about pride. They are talking about pride. And here's the thing about pride. Here's the danger of it. It is incredibly seductive. Incredibly seductive. So it's very, here's why it's seductive. It makes you feel good about yourself. Really, it makes you feel good about, it makes you feel good to have an inflated opinion of yourself. So it's very easy to be seduced. Satan, scripture says that Satan was corrupted because he was the one, the archangel, handling or merchandising all of this praise for God. And you know what? Hey, this is good. This kind of feels good. Rather than passing it on, I want this for myself. This is what happens. Don't we see? We hear all the time, oh, this particular group, pop group or whatever, oh, they split up. A lot of time you hear, you read about it, it's pride. This particular show stopped. It is pride. There was somebody, I mentioned this person's name, was making $1 million an episode. Well, I'll talk about the story. It's called Two and a Half Men. $1 million an episode. That's not enough. And he attacked the producer. It's pride. It is pride. Your kids, anytime your kids are rebelling against you, pride is another example of pride. Everybody knows. Everybody pretty much knows, at least old enough to use it, know that heroin is addictive. I promise you, thousands of people today are trying heroin. And guess what? Pride tells them, it'll be different for me. I won't get addicted to it. That's pride. This is pride. This is how we have to understand how it works. You can be seduced by pride. In fact, proud people, it's so easy to get seduced. You get confused by it. So you can get a proud person. I'm humble. I'm humble. Really, they're proud of their humility. In fact, scripture says, Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise you and not your own lips. Another man. So if you're praising oneself, it's pride. And I just say all of this to get into our main text. So Paul just described, I just read what Paul just described there. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. What is the perfect example of this? So Paul now gives the perfect example of it. Look in verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, so he's speaking about his pre-existence, right, as God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. Because proud people, they grasp for power. Even when, and it's actually saying already, this power that we're talking about, Christ already had, and he didn't grasp it. We see proud people grasping for power that doesn't even belong to them, right? There's a very famous word in the English language, usurp. He's a usurper. That's somebody who grasps for power that's not theirs. We have kids in the household who grasp for parental power. You can't tell me what to do. And you're paying the bills. Really, that's a perfect example. You're not the boss of me. Really, I can do what I want. Oh, my word. And when kids get to be 18, when they're living in your household, I'm 18. You can't tell me what to do. That's pride. That's an example as grasping for power. Some kids say to their mother, I'll unfriend you on Facebook if you don't do it really. So have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, a thing to hold on to. Listen to this. But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being in the likeness of men. And talk about emptying. This is important that we ask God to empty ourselves. Every day, Paul said, I die daily. It's very, very important. Very important. God can bless you, and those blessings the enemy can use, and the world, the flesh, can use to seduce you away from God. So you got a promotion at work, right? Your boss gives you a promotion. It's very easy through pride. I can take her job. I can take his job. Pride can do that. Really. Pride can do that. But here's what you do. You empty yourself. Lord, empty me of this pride. Here's why a life full of self is empty. And a life empty of self is full. Really. A life full of self is empty. And a life empty of self is full. And that's the delusion. Proud people are not happy. Here's the thing. When one empties themselves, here's what you're going to be full of. The spirit. Proud people are miserable. It's more and more and more and more. They are insatiable. Look at Satan. Look what he's done to himself. He is miserable going around the world looking to destroy God's creation. He should have been a part of all the good that God was doing. Don't forget, he is God's highest creation. And also, here's the other thing that pride does, which is incredibly sad. It tells people, I have no need for God. I'm a good person. I don't need this thing that Jesus did. I'm good. I go down to the shelter and rescue dogs. I do all kinds of good stuff. That's what pride does. Pride causes people to give an interpretation of themselves from themselves. It's called self-referential. You can't be self-referential. I can't say, I'm a good person. I can't say that. It's got to come from outside of myself. So taking the form of a bondservant, being found in a person's mind, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. But we have to understand, the social significance of crucifixion. So one, crucifixion was not just designed to strip people of life. This is a very cost inefficient way to just kill people. I mean, it's heavy on the trees. It takes up a lot of space. It's a lot of work putting them up there, bringing them down. I mean, you just want to kill people. No, this wasn't designed to strip people of their life. This was designed to strip people of their dignity. Really, this was also designed by the Roman Empire. Don't mess with this empire. You know what happened to Mary's son, right? So he's saying humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. And then on top of that, Deuteronomy says, cursed is anyone who dies on a tree. So here's what you've got with Jesus. When he says he humbled himself to the point of death, you've got someone who is not only dying for us, being stripped of his dignity, and then being cursed. You know why I know that the gospel is supernatural? Because to actually have someone who died crucified, the death of a criminal, and also with a curse on his head, and then for people to actually say, let's sell this message. It is supernatural that that message could catch fire. It's only the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit that this message could actually catch fire. And still, over 2,000 years later, it is still going strong. But listen, finally, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to a point that even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. What does that mean then? It means that in the kingdom, the way up is down, and the way down is up. In fact, it says that, doesn't it? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. This is a perfect example of exaltation. It also says, too, is that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble, right? And this example now is the fact that Christ humbled himself to the point of death, and it was God that lifted him up. So the way up is down. But people that lift themselves up, God takes them down. I think everybody's familiar with the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, look at this great kingdom that I made. God brought him down on all fours. So what? Why would we be humble? Because emptying ourselves is a way to become full of God's joy, of God's peace, of God's blessedness, of God's love, of God himself, of God's power. Anyone who is full of themselves is not happy. Because if you are full of yourselves, here's what you are saying. You are responsible to manufacture your own joy. You are responsible to manufacture your own peace. You are responsible to manufacture your own sense of self. You are responsible to manufacture emotional well-being, good quality of life. You are responsible to manufacture good relationships. Scripture says that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. God will do these things supernaturally for you. You know, I always laugh when people say, oh, I don't know what heaven is like. I just described it there from verse 1 to 11. That's exactly what heaven is like. You can have heaven inside of you. If you empty yourself of self, you will be full of God. And John the Baptist had it right. I must decrease so he can increase. I myself. What is the plan for the rest of our lives? It doesn't matter if someone, doesn't matter how old someone is. The plan for the rest of your life is to decrease so that God in you can increase. Paul said this, that there's nothing good inside of myself. So I should empty myself. You know, if I see, like I've got a glass of water or something, and I see that there's something floating on it, it doesn't matter what it is, I'm throwing that glass of water away, and I'm emptying that, and I'm filling it full of a clean glass of water. That's exactly what we should understand about ourselves. I understand that there's nothing good inside of myself, so I empty myself. Because as I said, a life full of self is empty. And a life empty of self is a full life. We have to empty ourselves so that we can be full of God. If you are at the center, you have left no place for God. In fact, when Scripture says God resists the proud, God lets you fall prey to your own folly, to your own foolishness. Because it's only, like Scripture even says, Psalms 10 verse 1, only a fool in his heart has said that there is no God. And when you are proud, that is what you are implicitly saying. Either there is no God or I have no need for God. And most people's need for God, if you think about it, is when they come to the end of themselves. Peter, when Peter was saying to Jesus, oh, Master, I'll go with you to the death. There's an example of pride. He wasn't lying to Jesus. He actually thought, yes, there he would. And what did Jesus say? Jesus did not say, don't deny me. Yeah, don't do it, Peter. In fact, Jesus, it was engineered so that Peter would do it. And here's the reason why. Peter needed to be confronted with the contents of his own heart. Because everybody says, no, I won't do that. And they're not lying. No, I won't. I'll be there for you until it happens. And I'm not saying that they're insincere. I'm just saying because of pride, they're sincerely wrong, is what I am saying, right? I will. And Peter needed to be confronted with that. And the taunts and giggles of a little girl, Peter cowered. And then after Peter's heart, he was confronted with the contents of his own heart. What did Scripture say? He went outside and wept bitterly. That tells me that he saw, wow, because of pride, I wasn't where I thought I was. What good am I? And Jesus came back to him. And this man who cowered at the taunts of a little girl on the day of Pentecost, he faced a hostile city and said, you crucified him. Do you see how useless pride is? It makes people useless. It makes people legends in their own mind, but not in reality. Yeah, I'll conquer. Yeah, I'll do this. Yeah, I will do that. It's the biggest lie. Think of Satan. What was he thinking that he could take on God? How does someone take on an eternal being? Put up your dukes. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, that was doomed for failure. That he could take on the person that created him. Really, this is how damaging pride is, folks. Every single person, whether it be in politics, whether it be celebrity, sport, you name it, when they fall, it is because of pride. Yeah, you might say, well, no, it's because of the affairs that he had. No, it started with pride, him thinking he could have those affairs and get away with it. Every single person who is in prison, it is pride. I can get away with it. I can get away with it. Then they come out of prison, they get seduced again. I can get away with it. There's people in and out of prison their entire lives. Why? Because of pride. Some will just say, oh, he's a criminal. It starts with pride. This is, folks, it's important that we know how pervasive this is. We start to, oh, we have a global pandemic. We had a global pandemic before we had a global pandemic. And that is pride. That is pride, really. It is these people will say, no, you know what? I'm going to conquer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do, let me tell you something, it is pride. People behind the pulpits, many have fallen. Why? Because of pride. I'm anointed. I'm the man. I can do whatever I want. God has got me. No, he doesn't. In fact, actually, if you are behind the pulpit, there's more responsibility on you to do the right thing. There is more. To whom much is given, much is required. And Jesus is the example of this. Jesus is the perfect example. You should pray every day, Lord God, give me the grace to empty myself. No, it's no good to just say, I'm humble. I am humble. You cannot be self-referential. How many people have ever been asked for something? I know, a job, going to school, or something like that, where they've ever said, give me a reference on yourself. That's silly, right? Give me a reference on yourself. No, you can't be self-referential. It's got to come from outside of yourself, right? It's got to be objective. You're too subjective, meaning you're too contaminated by yourself. You can't give a reference on yourself. Or somebody who's on trial, get on the witness stand for yourself. Really, you're the only witness we need. That would be silly. Really, you are too biased. You have got to be objective, and pride causes you to be so subjective, you're not able to see. There are people who are actually saying certain things in pride, and I'm telling you, folks, they're actually not intentionally lying because they actually believe it. When Alec Baldwin said that, I am God, he believed it. He believed it. Many people, many of these cults who believe that they're God, I was just reading about the guy in Japan who put that nerve gas in the subway in the 90s. He believed he was God. He believed he was chosen. Really. I am the man. You have to empty yourself. There was a guy, Jim Jones. Jim Jones, actually, here's the thing that people need to know about Jim Jones. Jim Jones actually started out good. He actually started out as a man of God. He did preach in the Bible. And then guess what happened to Jim Jones? He forgot to empty himself. He forgot to empty himself, and because of pride, almost 1,000 people died. Children died. We all know about Jonestown. This is pride, folks, really. And, okay, my pride is not going to get as damaging as that. Yeah, you are right, but here's what I am promising you. Your pride is going to be damaging. It is going to be damaging. We need to empty out ourselves. That should be something we do every day. It's a wonderful thing that Paul said. He didn't say, I die. He said, I die daily. A man who did what he did had to be empty of pride. In fact, because he went up to the third heaven, scripture says that God allowed a messenger of Satan to come. We don't know what it was, what ailment he had, I've read over the years, a lot of speculation, but we don't definitively know what it was. But it was a reminder to Paul to remain humble. Paul was allowed to see something that nobody has ever seen. And it was to keep him grounded, really, to keep this man grounded. I mean, really, even secular scholars consider the Apostle Paul to be the second most influential man in Western civilization. That's humongous. Really, wherever you go, there's a St. Paul something, St. Paul's Hospital, St. Paul's Cathedral. There's something to do with this man. And I say second most influential man. The first one, of course, is Jesus Christ. And so, clearly, when you have got that, you have to remain humble. Paul also, don't forget, was correcting disciples that walked with Jesus. He didn't. He actually didn't, but God allowed him to see things that they did not see in order to move to the next stage of one's life. It's to empty oneself. In fact, the reason why so many people remain stagnant is because they're full of themselves. I want to read a scripture that I love, and this scripture describes where God hangs out. And it's Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and exalted one, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit. So with the humble, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the hearts of the contrite. So this high and lofty God who lives forever, but he hangs out with humble people. He hangs out with humble people. You know, people are proud. Well, you know, I only hang out with celebrities. I only hang out with famous people. There are many of our kids, if you ask them, what do you want to be when you go old? I just want to be famous. That's pride. I just want to be famous. I have told my son that success is a residual effect of helping people. Really, residual effect of helping people. And pride says you own your mistakes. Humility says you own your mistakes. Pride says you don't. Because people are always, no, it wasn't me, it's him. Pride also causes people to want to control other people. It doesn't cause them to want to control themselves. Self-control, that's a fruit of the Spirit. It causes them to want to control other people. But if those other people do what they tell them to do, and then there's a mistake, it doesn't cause those people to take any responsibility. That's what pride is all about. Just like Satan. Satan wants to be God. Satan wants to be able to call the shots, but he doesn't want to take any responsibility for creation. This is what pride does. It is the worst sin because it leads to all others. It leads to selfishness. It leads to broken relationships. As I said, genocide, murder, anger, rage. It leads to people not growing, remaining stagnant. No, it's not me. It causes people actually not to have any remorse. Folks, we need to empty ourselves. Anyone who believes that they have been stuck in a place, I'm telling you, ask God to empty yourself of yourself, really, so that you can see. If I were to actually say what's so damaging about pride is that it's spiritual blindness. It is spiritual blindness, just like physical blindness. Nobody would go up to Stevie Wonder and ask him, what did he think of this Van Gogh painting? Right? Nobody would do that. No disrespect to Stevie Wonder, but he's blind. He can't see. Really. So it's just the same with you now. You can't see yourself. You can't see your condition. So many people think, I'm all set. I'm good. I'm in a good place with God. I don't want to say to myself, I'm in a good place with God. I want to have the spiritual understanding to know exactly where I'm at and then to be able to make the necessary changes to get to that place when one day God will finally say, welcome, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. Let me pray. Father, Lord God, I just thank you. I just praise your holy name. I thank you, Lord God, for each and every person here. I pray that you will give them the grace, Lord God, to empty themselves so that they can be full of you, Lord God. Father, your word says that don't be full of wine, Lord God. But, Lord, I know also that you don't want to be full of self, but so that we can be full of the Spirit, Lord God. So I pray, Father, that every person will make a self-assessment today, Lord God, would ask you to look at them, Father, see where they are at, and that they will start the spiritual discipline of asking to be emptied, Father, Lord God, as you did, Lord, as you emptied yourself. You were perfect. You had no need to do that, Lord God. You provided a model for us. So I just thank you for their lives, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity to give your word. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.